I keep talking to myself?
Sure, sure. No, I'm not.
I think I'll put together a collection of writings to show students. I feel that the anthologies that I see right now tend to be more for the non-Indian students of literature, students who are probably in either second or third year English. So because I'm concerned with our students learning, I would like to have a range of stories that would also include maybe some of the elders, like having some of their stories, mm-hmm. like the short, that type of short story, or narrative is what I, some, or it is sometimes called narrative. The only story I like in there is Peter Durange's, because mm-hmm. that story again deals very interestingly with an older story mm-hmm. about this eagle. And I really like that story, and that is the only one I would use in there. Because
what about Alex Wolfe's other stories?
Yes, he has several. There are several in that collection that I would probably use to illustrate, you know, again, Alex's idea of storytelling as he sees it in the family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that would be another important one to
important
share.
Book,
yeah. Oh, yes. And, you know, even though the book is quite serious in some ways, there's a part that I especially like when he talks about Earth Elder going to town in his underwear. And I think that I pretty well would have to include that story.
Yeah. What about novels?
Novels at this time, I guess there's probably, I'm not that familiar with novels because mm-hmm. I'm only starting to read mm-hmm. some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm still interested to read Slash because mm-hmm. I've heard so much discussion about it,
mm-hmm.
but I have not myself personally read it. I like the idea of people writing about that time. I guess the other one I haven't read is the one Honor the Sun.
Yeah.
And I would probably, you know, take a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that those books are difficult to teach. So I think that's another thing that I would be looking at is developing a way to teach those books.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that one of our writers in the Aboriginal Writing Group would develop a paper a bit about how she feels about teaching Slash. Because I know a lot of non-Indians and maybe even our own people would look at some of the literature and say, well, how can I teach this? This doesn't have enough... whatever, you know, it doesn't have enough structural elements that are used in English courses. And to me, I would like to see if there's any way we could find to teach, especially Aboriginal literature, in a way that we could look at either history or we could look at the content somehow without having to say, you know, to what extent is this particular hero or heroine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they have in English, how, you know, they always look at the development of plot and they always look at those elements. I wish there was some way, you could ask a question, you know, that you could say, well, to what extent does Slash help us understand the 60s or something?
No, but I think what you find is that idea of teaching, oh, what about the plot and all that, is very traditional, and you find a sort of an international discussion of new and emerging literatures. People who are into that, they realize that all these old categories will be cast aside. They're becoming obsolete. Or they're still there, and you say, okay, this is plot, but this is something different. Now, what is it? And you deal with that.
Well, so I see Canada as a reactionary country. I see people on the international scene, I see people in the United States changing their idea of literature. But in Canada, what I see is a fossilization.
Mm-hmm.
I see people, you know, holding on to an idea of English literature, which is some kind of fossil. And I think that is because of the way the country tends to represent sometimes, people's own heritage. Like if you're in Toronto, well, people there kind of think English Canada is important in their kind of view of literature, but they don't consider literature from the West important. I mean, we have, even some literature that has occurred on the West Coast and this type of thing that should be taught in Canada, but I hardly think that's going to happen. What's going to happen is our literature in Canada will probably be taught in other countries, then probably we won't teach it in our own country. We'll be teaching English literature, we'll be teaching Milton to Indians, we'll be, you know, teaching Chaucer, which I guess is okay, but it's not. I don't mind learning about those people as long as we have an opportunity to learn about our own cultural
mm-hmm.
contributions.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right, except for some centers that are really delving into Canadian literature. Very often at the English departments you have one or two people, and they're the off people out who teach Canadian literature, whereas the sort of international interest in Canada is making a very good image in the world through its literature, and that includes native literature.
Well, I think that's true. We have a vibrant literature here in this country, but we also have literary critics and people who are teaching English in this country who do not realize that. So,
okay, let's come to literary critics. You mentioned that to some degree already. You said you're sick of white liberal critics who say, "Oh, my wonderful Indian author," and sort of are very soft-footed and soft-worded about criticizing native authors. And you said in some other context that you think you'd rather be sort of criticized on the same level or with the same severity as any other writers, rather than be put into a niche. But where would outside critics, how can they do justice to native literature when you say it's the voice of the mother and they don't understand the voice of the mother? See, I'm being critical now.
That's true, but that's what I call petty criticism.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand it's good to be picky, and it's good to be picky about poems. It's, you know, because each word is important, and it's good to be picky about prose because each sentence is important. I mean, I understand the idea about the importance of looking at things in a very small way here, but what I look at in criticism is not just the idea of, again, a white person looking at Indian writing. What I'm saying is, what tends to happen is that we're looking at a colonial context
mm-hmm.
of this writing,
mm-hmm.
and what we have is some non-Indian people who don't understand that history.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come to our literature, they just think, oh, this is very exotic. And then they start talking about our people and our literature as if we are some type of super intelligent chimpanzees, or we are some kind of Neanderthals they have
mm-hmm.
discovered, and they are not looking at the depth of our expression. Like, I feel what I understand in our writing is that it is quite complex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm trying to suggest to people, is that they learn about some of the symbols and
okay.
meanings that we have
mm-hmm.
so that when they are, you know, reviewing a person's writing, that they could also maybe appreciate that, as well as sort of saying, oh, I found this, particular piece of writing to be, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
flawed. I think it's the word flawed they always say. Like, I saw a review of a black woman's writing. She is from Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
I saw two reviews, one by a non-black scholar, I guess
mm-hmm.
you'd say, and then one by, I guess, a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
And what a difference. It's like they were reading two different books.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting because they were both reviewing a volume of poetry. And in one, you know, I thought the conventions applied. And that is the way they always start off the review is, they're very challenging. And then at the end it says, but this author does not quite, you know, meet
mm-hmm.
the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then
mm-hmm.
dribble, dribble, or slobber, slobber. I don't know what the actual end of that,
mm-hmm.
kind of review is, but in terms of the Women of Colors review, she was reviewing that particular work in terms of what did it mean for the particular black people,
mm-hmm.
the black people that might be in the audience. For that non-black person, that was not even important.
Mm-hmm.
All he was doing was seeing letters or words on a page. He had no context, no social context. In fact, if you ask this person about Canada, he probably wouldn't even understand what's going on in Canada. All he knows is there. I can read literature, and that is from one sense to another. But to me, to understand literature today, you have to understand what is going on in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be isolating yourself. So I felt that woman of color gave the better review because she was aware of this particular community struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And the particular idea had to do with a person who was writing about the problem of writing in English anyways, especially when this is not, you know, the language that your group originally had.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and when I think of that, that the person who was writing in English, they just took for granted that they could write in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a question that they could be transported somewhere and forced to speak another language, and their people humiliated and killed or murdered in front of their eyes. It was always just, oh, another lame, you know, criticism about English.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I felt, a very intense snobbery in the one with the non-black.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, there is snobbery and criticism, and maybe that is good because there are a lot of rich people who not only write books, read books, so they have their stake in the literary community.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they should have their literary snobs review books, because that's what they're interested in, is they want to know what books are proper for them.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of a reader like myself, I am a working writer, I want to read reviews that are by people who understand literature and its development, not just in this country, but in other countries. So I want to read a review of someone who says, who could even say, this particular Indian work reminds me of this work by this African writer,
mm-hmm.
and they could compare that instead of what I am seeing now is what I tend to see is, oh, isn't this charming, this person writes about this area, or something, or they consider it just a local phenomenon.
Well, but I think that there's quite a bit of criticism, and some of it is coming out of Europe even, where various new literatures, minority literatures or so, are compared and seen together, and you realize that certain themes like home, like ancestry, or the tied, being tied to the land in different ways, that is something that is recurring throughout literature written by third, fourth world people throughout the world. And I think this is emerging, although it's a beginning, but it's there.
Well,
I know that because I'm myself involved in that kind of criticism and have published in that field.
Well, this is the type of criticism that I am comfortable with, that we look at, you know, literature in terms, again, of its cultural source.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I said, I know it's difficult to compare, say, Aboriginal writing in Canada to Aboriginal writing in Latin America. There are significant changes in history
mm-hmm.
that have affected these groups.
Mm-hmm.
However, I myself, as a writer, I find it really, really interesting that I do have something in common
mm-hmm.
with a woman who is writing in Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
That she may be trying to deal with the idea. In this case, I remember one similar incident where a Nicaraguan writer was trying to deal with the idea of her being abandoned by her mother, and she had to be raised by her father. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
this is very similar to what has
mm-hmm.
happened in my life, only with hers, the particulars were a little different, but the emotional content was very much similar. We both had to deal with this and chose to deal with it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very helpful for me to talk with that woman. Because sometimes when we go around and we try to talk to another Indian woman about this in Canada, this person might not be ready to say, oh, I want to look at this, you know, idea of being abandoned or neglected by our parents.
Mm-hmm.
This might be, at this point, being silenced
mm-hmm.
in her, in saying this particular person's view, that this is not something she wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's one of the reasons that I'm reaching across different groups, is because I don't think sometimes that if I just remained within my own group that I could get all that I need in order to grow as a writer.
Okay. So who do you write for? Do you have an audience in mind?
I always think of it as another Indian woman. Sometimes I actually
mm-hmm.
think of it as my mother.
Mm-hmm.
If my mother could be alive today, if my mother had an opportunity to get an education in this country, my mother had an opportunity to live to old age in this country, I would have liked to have my mother be able to say, I understand what you're thinking, daughter. And I actually had that situation with my father. My father is a working class man, and he was able to read some of my poetry, and he liked it. And I thought that was really good, that I did not try to impose something on my own parents that they could, that was totally foreign to them, that I could still somehow say that these people that raised me were good people. They came, you know, from good thoughts, like they had, you know, good ideas about trying to raise their children. They had their own struggle. I guess the audience sometimes I think about is women like me. What I mean by that is that women who have a defiant nature. Okay, that's always considered to be a character flaw, to be defiant. However, for me, I've cultivated that because that is the way I survive. That is the way I keep my thinking, my intellectual capacity running on high. I felt that I have to be defiant in a culture where I see it putting people down. Not just, you know, Indian people, it puts down an awful lot of people. And to me, I've developed a certain amount of defiance in my writing and my way of speaking and my way of acting, simply because I just feel that is the only way that I can live. So I think that the reader who's going to get the most out of my writing is someone who knows what that defiance is and knows why we have to be defiant at times. I guess I could see a little old lady reading my writing and saying, gee, I always wanted to be like that, or I want my granddaughters to be like that. But essentially, I kind of think of the audience as people who are struggling like myself. And I understand that there are a lot of people that aren't struggling. I mean, they're just trying to, you know, balance payments on their plastic credit cards and trying to decide what microwave oven to buy. I mean, I understand those are their priorities. But on another level, that there are some people who in this country understand that our psyche, our whole psychological being sometimes is being oppressed by even television, by the kind of media we are presently living under. And sometimes I find that in my writing I'm able to sort of make an aside to the reader and saying, don't you think this is kind of a funny place we're living in? And I think that maybe that conspiratorial whisper that I'm trying to get at in my writing, I think we all need that. We all need somebody to pull us aside and say, don't you think this is what's really going on? And then we go back to our regular humdrum routine way of observing things. But to me, the writer's task is to observe and to share that with others. So I think my audience is people that want to have a fresh outlook on life, who want to pick up a book and say, hey, I got something from that. I feel better after reading that. I don't want my writing to be just, you know, some sort of novelty. I think that I'm really writing to reach people in a way that writing reaches me. When I read something, I'm a critical reader. I want to interact with the text. I want to interact with the mind of the writer.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Do I sound like a...